Southbrook families, Eric Fleming here with For the Family Podcast. We welcome you back. Hopefully you guys got to check out our pilot. Our first run of For the Family was last week. Super excited. It seems quite a few are listening, so that's great. That's our hopes, is that the families at home, our Southbrook families, will listen in and hear what's going on in all our rooms and programs on the weekend. And that's one of our huge goals with this. Another goal is to help resource you and give you practical ways to continue conversations. So what we'll start to do from time to time is recommend books, maybe articles, some things you can read and check out that maybe pertain to our programs and activities on the weekend that can help further discussion. So thanks for checking in again. Thanks for coming back for episode 2 here for the family. And if you don't know, we have created a Facebook page, which is important for you guys to go and like. It's just For the Family Podcast. We created that page so there's one place where this can kind of live. When we roll out promotion of things, of another episode that's released, we'll put resources there. If we ever recommend books, we'll put links there to those books. There may be times where we ask for questions from you guys. If we're in the middle of a series, let's say we're on a series of social media, we may say, hey, if you got any questions about this, post those on our For the Family Podcast page, and we'll maybe answer some of those, and or we'll see comments at times. So go and search for that page on Facebook, like it, and we'll continue to post things there for you to check out, especially when episodes release and things like that. I'm excited that you guys are back. We're into another week here, another weekend. We had service this week, right, Steve Holt?
Yeah, we did.
We was close there for a little bit. We were a little worried, but we had our services. We had middle school met Saturday night. High school had their thing, well, abbreviated Sunday. But we all met, and so I'm excited that we all have some content here to share for this week. And again, I'll bring in my man here, Steve Holt, who does high school for us here. And so, hey, Mr. Steve-O, how are we doing, man?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Doing well. An exciting weekend, right? We had some weather going on there that was a little dodgy, right?
Know, I had a moment where I thought, you know, maybe we should just... Tomorrow night, we'll do our regular thing. For fun, we'll go out sledding. Mm. And I'm glad you reminded me that it was like -8.
Right. It'd be the most brutal type of sledding ever.
Yeah, it would have hurt a lot.
Right. We got frostbite this weekend at Epic. So
exactly. So, yeah, anyway, this week at Epic, we had our second week of our new series called Mine, which is not really new anymore. Right. And again, the first week, we talked about... the firm foundation that you build your faith on. You know, Paul talks about in the New Testament that Jesus is our cornerstone, right, the rock in which we should build all of our faith. And so without starting with Jesus as our firm foundation, there's really no use of even growing your faith. Right. So that was our first week. And then this week, we talked about, from Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. And from that, we kind of took that our faith is not meant to be done alone.
Right.
We kind of looked back at the beginning, at the creation story, how God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit were all there in community creating this world we live in. So if the way I said it to them, if it's good enough for God, it should be good enough for us to do this thing called faith and community. And so I kind of shared with them several people in my life that kind of spurred me on. Well, you know, one of our five S's as a church is support.
Right.
And so in my lifetime, I had lots of people that I can think of that supported me. You know, Larry Shelby, one of my first pastors, he just allowed me to make mistakes and get my hands dirty. I'm probably a pastor today because I preached a sermon when I was 13 years old. Yeah, it was horrible, but he let me anyway.
At 13, that's pretty incredible.
I think some people came back. I'm not sure. I hope so. Right. Anyway, and then, you know, in college, after kind of sowing my wild oats, I ran into a guy named Jack Thompson who just discipled me and showed me what it was like to be a Christ follower and to walk with him every day. So throughout life, I share with our students that you just need people there that will guide you, that will lead you. Not only that, but even your friends that will lift you up and not tear you down. And so really emphasized our small groups and how important it is that they come and try to make it a priority to be in their small groups to build that community.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's totally key, right?
Correct.
And with our groups, you know, we have, if you guys don't know this, we have a ton of adult leaders that pour their time and energy and love into these groups of leading these students and discipling them and giving their time. And I think that's crucial. Like we've said, I think I shared that last week, that the importance of having someone older than you that has gone before you to have in your life is super important to have those. And I think for, really, when I think about it, I don't know where I read this recently, but our culture has kind of gone away from that. If you look through history of times, that the elders, the older people in the culture, it's the wisdom that they have and the guidance that they can give to the younger groups was something key to those cultures. And like right. It seems like anymore today, that's kind of a thing that's lost, that the importance of seeking someone older than you that has gone before you, that knows what you're going through, but it's gone through it on the other end, to have them a part of your life is huge, right?
Right.
And you just shared that for you. Those are obviously correct. Two people there. I think the other thing is obviously having people where you are right now at your age that are walking alongside you together,
right,
in hopes of growing in your faith, becoming a better version of yourself. Like I always say, to surround yourself with people that know that your faith is important to you, mm-hmm. And that help you grow in it and make you a better version of yourself.
Right.
And then also finding someone younger than you that maybe you can like guide or lead a little bit.
Correct. And truthfully, that's probably a jumping off point of discussion we'd love you to have with your student this week is, who are some people in your life that have helped you grow in your faith?
Yeah, absolutely.
Who are some friends of yours that build you up and not tear you down? Right. And just kind of use it. And it could be anything from a major thing that they've helped you walk through, or it could just be something simple. Just a everyday person that might test their patience and what you've learned from that, you know?
Absolutely. And, you know, we say that before, vulnerability is key in parenting. I know that for myself as well, of sharing those things, because they see you going through similar situations and similar experiences, and you can speak on those things. I think it's also key as we talk with students that, you know, middle school, when we talked about this, I really got them to examine their circle of influence. I mean, for most of us, all of us really, we allow certain people to speak into us, to influence us. Whether we're cognitive of this or not, we allow people to influence us. And so for middle schoolers, I was telling them that to operate now and thinking about, hey, who are those people in your life? Do they influence you for the good or the bad? Maybe it's time to remove some of those bad ones.
Right.
Same with high school. I think high school on another level is like the accountability factor. I didn't talk much about that with middle school. But I think high school, when you're getting older, to have people that, you know, accountability partners, someone that is a good friend of yours, that holds you accountable.
Sure.
Not in a sense of, like we say, of judgment, but that say, hey, you know, Eric, man, you are making some dumb decisions right now. Right?
Yeah. What was that quote you used last week about friends?
Right. You show me your friends, I'll show you your future.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I wish, man, I didn't think like, I mean, are you kidding? No, adolescent Eric, are you kidding me? I was a bonehead, right? But to have people in my life that would have said, at my age, like my circle of influence, to have people that said, Eric, man, I think you're making some wise decisions, but you're also making some dumb decisions at times. And, you know, I know that your faith and growing in your faith is key. And I think you need to really work on those, right? I'm here to help you walk in that and grow in that and learn from that. I think you brought this up earlier. I think this is a part that's key too, is failure. To have people in your life, man, that don't have these ridiculous expectations of you, that you're growing in your faith. There's a reason we say growing, right?
Right.
That failure is a part of that, of making, messing up is okay, right?
Right.
I mean, failure is key.
That's
to that,
part of learning. You can't learn without failure.
Right. And it's hard because a lot of us don't like that word.
Because as parents, and again, like you said, full transparency, you think the world's coming to an end. Mm-hmm. Oh no, what have I done wrong? What are they doing wrong? What do we do wrong? Why are they doing that? And you react to it when you should be like, yeah, well, okay, well, they're going to make mistakes.
Yeah.
Let's help them through that. Let's help them learn from that.
And love them where they're at right now in the midst of that, right?
And then in the midst of it, and then say to yourself, probably won't be the last time,
right?
But let's help guide them through that.
Absolutely. I think that is key. I mean, I can think of, man, my years in ministry and you too, of how many parents have come to me, said, Eric, I've done everything that I think I could have done perfectly, I guess, if perfect can be used. I've done well.
Right.
I've raised them in the way that I think they should go. And they still are, you know, they're not going in a way I think that's honoring God. I say, listen, we can do everything we can. to guide and shepherd and lead our kids. But man, free will, right? We all have free will, and at some point they're going to make their decisions. And it's not an indictment on how you raised your kid, right? That yep. they're going to make their decisions. And my parents, same way, incredible influencers in my life, Christ-like examples, but it wasn't because of them I made bonehead decisions. Right. It's just I was an adolescent who didn't think about, you know, outside of that moment of the decision I was making. So it's really good stuff. Is there anything else you want to add?
Oh, you think it's us just being parents, just about being God the Father.
Oh, right.
Oh, they're going to mess up again. Right. Okay, I'll give them some grace, and I'll show them, you know, let me help them get through this and figure this right. out, you know.
Right.
So it's just a microcosm of what God faces.
Right. You know? That's one of the blessings of parenting is a constant reminder of what God faces, right, with us. That, you know, every day that I deal with my kids or these whatever ridiculous expectations I may have on my kids or times that they fail me or I fail them or things like that. It's a constant reminder of what God deals with,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
I think it's so key. And so, correct. Yeah, if there's anything with middle school and even high school, man, the circle of influence is so important to get it.
Because it's somebody else that will speak into their lives.
Right.
I mean, you see them every day,
yeah.
but every once in a while, and I remember growing up, it always like, oh, that's what my mom and dad said. I guess that does make sense.
Right.
You know, to have somebody else that's wise also just kind of saying the same right. stuff.
His mom and dad are so uncool yeah, during yeah. the adolescent years, no, right? Yeah. They're just being mom and dad.
Yeah.
But to have other people there that help to reinforce that is key. I remember having parents say that to me multiple times. Eric, it's nice that, you know, you reinforce what we're saying at home.
Sure.
Or, you know, and I'm saying the same thing to them. This is why it really is a reason for this podcast, to help this holistic approach to reinforcing on all levels to help our students grow in their faith and as people.
Correct.
I think it's just great. Hey, why don't you also clue in our families of what's going on? What do we got going on? I know we should use this time like for events and stuff for them to get to prepare for, or maybe register for, or things going on. Is there anything you want to share? What's going on in high school?
Yeah,
any events?
We'll have some more local events coming up. But one thing we do want to share with you is, you know, each I had the honor of, and actually it wasn't honor; it was just fun. And I growed from it.
I grew from it as well.
Went to MOVE with our students last year.
Christ and Youth Conference,
yeah,
right?
Christ and Youth. It was great. Ours was down in sweaty Tennessee.
Tennessee, yikes!
But this year we're going back to Holland, Michigan.
Yeah,
which my daughter just raves about. I haven't been yet.
It's an awesome trip, man. It's an awesome place.
Just to think about a place where I have no air conditioning and don't need it, it just sounds wonderful to me.
That was pretty brutal.
Last
summer. No,
we're not commenting on that fans that we had to use 20 of them in our room.
Right.
But so anyway, MOVE is, what was the total cost if they waited to the last minute? It was like $450. But if you can get on, you can pay by the end of January this month. Price is $375.
Yep.
And then it goes up to $400 for the month of February, I believe it is. So get in quickly. You save, what is that, $75 if you get in
total right now. You lock in your, and with that is a non-refundable $100 deposit. I got to say that because sometimes.
And that's not on us. That's right, on the
that's
camp.
Just the, we got to lock that in. And if you don't know this, CIY is, this is one of the most incredible weeks I think your student can experience. And I say this from my own, like I am what, my gosh, I am going to be 39. Yikes. And I have gone to CIY, no joke, ever since I was a freshman in high school. It was big to our church when I was growing up. And my goodness, it's a week long. You live like a college student. Like Steve said, it's at Hope College. The worship's amazing. You're worshiping with probably for that week will probably be about 1,100 other high school students. Great messages, great teaching. This year's focus is on Elijah. It's called To Be Continued, and how Elijah the prophet in the Old Testament allowed God to use him to kind of just exemplify his faith in God and the amazing things he was able to do through God that led to the faith to continue in other people because of Elijah's experience. And so that's the focus. And man, we take charter bus up to Hope College, charter bus back.
Right.
We got all our leaders going. Steve's going. I believe I'm going to be there. We'll have some small group leaders there. Like, it's a great time. We take care of the students. They have fun. And more importantly, I think it's an event, an experiential event that grows their faith big time.
And so if we're counting down, we only have 50 spots left. It sounds like a lot, but they'll go quick.
They'll go quick. That's a high demand.
So make sure you get on before the end of this month, $375.
Right now.
You can go to sbepic.org.
Yep.
And you can get find a link there and register. So right. Make sure you do that.
Do that. Yeah, man, I love that trip. I'm excited about that trip. So, yeah, get on and do that. I mean, this is for anybody. This isn't like, hey, my student has maybe gone to Epic a couple times. Listen, this event is so impactful. Get them there. Do whatever you can to make it a priority because it will definitely grow them.
Yeah, let me say this. I have parents all the time. Hey, I just can't get my son or daughter connected. Hey, how do I get them to come to youth group? Honestly, student ministry is all about connections. So if you want them to get connected, then get them to come to retreat, get them to come to camp. I promise you, a week long of building relationships, and they'll come to student ministry forever.
All right, absolutely. What a great time to do it than this trip. All right, so that concludes our high school segment. Thank you, parents. Hope that was beneficial for you and a blessing to you. And we're going to jump into our middle school segment now. Steve, you can just hang out here with me and jump in if you'd like.
Let's talk about those middle schoolers.
Let's talk about them. Oh, they're awesome, right? Love our middle school students. And so this week, much like Steve's, we continued in our series, which I introduced you to last week, called Deep. The importance of that is to grow our faith, and that God uses these different vehicles to grow to grow our faith. Which is interesting because if you've been a part of Southbrook, you hear us talk about it with the five S's. You use that right. This is key for us to grow our faith, to live like Jesus, is this 5S journey. Of scripture and service and solitude and support and significant events. And it's interesting that these series almost kind of mirror that.
Right.
Right. And so, for example, this past weekend, I spoke with our students on the importance of service, that God uses service to grow our faith. I think many of us know that, but it's really to reiterate the importance of, like, listen, man, service is everything. Like, stepping outside of ourselves to serve others is paramount in growing our faith,
right.
That Jesus exemplified this. And in fact, the story that we focused on was Jesus feeding the 5,000, which a lot of us hear that, we know that, but we stepped back and examined it through the lens of service. That, if you remember that, you know, the disciples were like, okay, it's getting nighttime, it's around dinner, we should send these people home, right? They're like, get them out of here.
We're hungry, let's go.
We want to eat, let's send them home. And you remember Jesus said, we don't need to do that. We don't need to send them home. We have what we need here. And you remember their doubt, right? If anything, the disciples are constantly doubting what Jesus can do, right?
You do what?
Right? He calmed the storm not too long ago, and now they're doubting him again. And they say, we've just got a bare amount of fish and bread and loaves, right?
And here comes that junior high student with his loaves of bread and fish.
Right? Yeah, right. And that's what I told them. I said, like the disciples, the thing is bringing it to Jesus. That was the key in the story, that I see that we may have something we can use here. I have some loaves of bread, I have some fish, not enough to cover the multitude of people there, but I brought them to Jesus. And Jesus is the one that miraculously turned it into something that was more than enough for that group.
Right.
The same thing with us when it comes to service. I was telling our students that, you know, I know you think, man, you're 6th grade, 7th grade, 8th grade, what is it I could possibly do? And we did something creative as they walked into our space, that we had notes hanging up on the walls, and one of them was like, what is service? How would you define service? And really cool to see them writing in their answers. Another one we had was, what are some issues, maybe some needs that you see in your community and schools? And they were filling those out. And it's just really cool to see them thinking about it, because that's the big deal, is getting them to be mindful of service, to be mindful of stepping out, looking to the needs around them and saying, hey, what is it I can do to help? Mm-hmm. And I left them with this. And so, families, if you're listening, think about this, and maybe think about this from yourself as well. I mean, that's one of the reasons we do this as well, that we can all learn from what's going on in these areas. And so I told our students, I said, here's a way to think about this. And I know a lot of people think at times, man, I can jump in and serve at Bog. That's awesome. Super great to do that. Or I can jump in a soup kitchen, or I can donate clothes. Those are all great things. But my mind was really focused on training them to think in their daily lives, right? A Bog thing is great to serve and do that. I highly recommend that as a family. But for that to happen, you have to schedule. You have to go and leave and do that. You have to plan to do that. And I think at times it's easy to drop that, mm-hmm. right? I don't want to do that. It's too much work.
Right.
But I really want them to start looking around their everyday lives. What can I do to mm-hmm. serve? And so I asked them these questions. I said, here's some homework for you. I said, what are your interests right now? What are your interests? What do you have that you can offer right now? And to think about that. What is that? And then look for the needs around you. Maybe it's in your schools, it's on your teams, it's in your hallways, maybe it's at home, it's in your neighborhood. and how can what you have to offer satisfy those needs? Does that make sense, or help
yeah.
them do that?
Yeah.
And then I said, give your time, decide to give your time for the right reasons. Right. And I think that's key, because a lot of times, think about this in your own experiences. I think about this from mission trip experiences, a lot of things that we think of that, oh, I've got something to offer. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go and I'm going to help these people out in this foreign country. Right. I'm going to give them all this stuff. And really, it's kind of what I say is it's kind of a, I think, a wrong motive to say, hey, listen, I'm just going to go and do whatever God needs at this when I go and serve, right? That something may happen. And most of the times what always happens inevitably is you go on those trips and the culture and the people that you're serving blow you away and impact you ever more than you could do for them, right? And so I said, hey, have the motivation that all I'm going to do is serve. That whatever my interests are, whatever the things I have to offer, I'm just coming to help another brother or sister out.
Right? So parents, if your middle school student this week, you came home from work and they made their bed, cleaned their room, emptied the dishwasher.
I would love to hear.
Let us know about it.
Would love to hear if that happened.
Well, yeah, that would be amazing.
All the families right now are like, man, we didn't see any of that this week. No one did any of that. And that's why we're having the podcast. So you can kind of carry this on. And it's really funny because that was my other point. Eric said, you need to clean. That's what I think everybody, you need to clean your room. Eric said this. And this is what Jesus wants you to do, right? That's great. Right. And so, man, I think that's a great way to be practical and think about it, because I think a lot of times it's like, I'm a middle school student. I don't know what I have to offer. And I think back to a ministry I was in Louisville. I was a student pastor in Louisville. And we had this local organization. It was really cool. We had somebody that worked for it called, it was called Kentucky Refugees Ministry. And my church was in an area where our students were kind of, I don't know how you say it, they were just, they did really well in school, I guess you could say, mm-hmm. right? They high grades, high tests, and I had a lot of students saying, hey, I would love to be able to help and give back with this somehow. And so this lady came to us and said, man, I don't know if you know this, Louisville has one of the highest refugees refugee communities in the States. And I was like, really? Huh. They said, so we could really use students that would come in and maybe help these kids with school, with English, with math.
Yeah.
And so we started this thing and said, hey, you guys shared with me your interest in the things that you have that you think you can have to offer. We're going to partner with this organization. And every week we had two teams that rotated that went to a library, sat with these kids, and just helped them with their math. And it was just really cool to see that, you know, middle schoolers and high schoolers alike jumping in and doing this thing. And I think that's really what it is, man. What do I have to offer? Like I shared maybe with our athletes, hey, you might be in practice. Maybe plays are coming to you easily, but maybe another teammate of yours is struggling constantly and the coach is constantly on them. Well, maybe a real practical way to do it, hey, let's stay after. I can help you. I can help you go through some of this stuff or work together on this. Like real practical ways of helping instead of like the whole, you know, the big picture of
instead,
service.
Instead of them just feeling like the world revolves around them.
Right.
You know, look past yourself.
Right. And think of like base. I mean, like, and I think that's a thing is getting them used to thinking about it.
Right.
Like, what do I have?
That's it. That's
what do I have? Yeah. And then putting on what I got, like those kingdom eyes, mm-hmm. looking around the things of that could really use some help and how I can stand in that gap and help. And so, you know, there's some of my favorite scriptures that I threw out to them was, man, one of my favorites is in John 13, where Jesus washes the feet of his disciples. I use this term a lot. And if you don't know, that's in the upper room before Jesus is arrested. He's mm-hmm. up there with his disciples, and you know, they're gathering for the last meal, the last supper, and he gets down. And you remember, if it's Peter first, he gets down with a basin of water and a towel and starts washing his feet. And if you remember, right, Peter's like, what are you doing? I should be washing your feet. And Jesus says, this needs to happen. This must happen that I do this. And it's all in the similar vein of I came to serve, not to be served. And if you remember, he washes all the feet, gets done and says, you'd be wise to do as I have done.
Which was normally meant for a servant to do.
Absolutely. Yeah. Not the Son of God.
Right.
And so essentially what Jesus is embodying there is like, oh, man, my people, my followers, we live to serve. You simply are to wash feet. I say that all the time. Wash feet. Students, wash feet of those around you. Parents, wash feet. Families, wash feet. Look for opportunities that you can help those in need and wash those feet. Even though at times, that's why I love the image of washing feet, because the feet then, especially in that first century, was super nasty, right? You're walking everywhere, dirt roads. And I think it's such a great imagery because service can be messy, right?
Right.
I think a lot of times we serve and we think, oh, look at me, pat me on the back. There's times it's you don't get that. And the pat in the back is a heavenly pat in the back. God is... and the angels watch, and they're just celebrating you. And people don't get it here, right? People might not get it. Why would you do this?
Right. And truthfully, students are they're watching more than listening.
Right. Absolutely.
And so if they see you serving,
right,
they're going to learn a lot more from that.
Great segue to one of my favorite verses. Is one of mine I try to live by as much as I can. 1 John 3:18-19, John says this: "Dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Mm. Let us show the truth by our actions. Our actions will show that we belong to the truth, so we will be confident when we stand before God." I mean, I love that verse. Yeah, that was our verse when we served in Jamaica. It was on our shirts. Man, love in action, love in action. Like, I mean, you can say that your faith is important. You can say Jesus matters to you. But if your actions don't line up, I would argue maybe it's not as important as you think it is.
Right.
And so service is key. I mean, I also love, I'm a dork with the science side of things. I think a lot of times we think science and faith are at war. And I think our culture likes to say that. But for me, science helps to reinforce God. And I came across that. Have you ever heard of this term, helper's high? When you serve, like when you give, there's this term called helper's high. Like you feel it. If you've ever done this, you feel this. You generally feel the endorphins that are released, the oxytocin that's released,
right?
It is a release that happens in your brain that literally makes you feel good doing what you're doing.
Well, that's why I say when people are depressed, the first thing they should do is go out and serve.
It's a great way because it releases oxytocin, which is again, it's a chemical messenger. It's shown to be important as a result of just maybe giving back. It's one that helps behavior, including like recognition, trust, and it helps with anxiety. I mean, it's key with the mother-infant bond. Like oxytocin gets released when you're doing these things, and it helps with that. That I just find it fascinating. That reinforces God to me. Like, it's chemically wired that God created us, that when we do these things, man, it just helps. It just helps chemically, neurologically, everything we're doing, that it's a benefit. And I think that's what Jesus means when it's like, man, I came to give life and give it to the full. When you give it to the full, it's like, man, give up your life, serve, do everything you can. And so parents, man, that's my biggest thing is start having those discussions with them. Live out service yourself. Like Steve said, that's a big thing too. That goes a long way. Serve together as a family, like on mission of serving together. Maybe it's going to BOG. Maybe that is something you do. Maybe it's having discussions at home with your student of, man, what are some things you see at school? I shared with our students very practically another one. I mean, think about this. I told them to raise their hands on a given day around school, the hallways, cafeteria, the bus, everything. I mean, for the most part, the communication, the language, the way people talk to each other, would you say that's the majority is a negative, you know, sense of communication, the way that people talk to each other is derogatory, and everybody, all hands went up.
Yeah.
I said, man, just think if you were the one that changed that up. Just think if you're the one each day that had something encouraging to say to someone in the hallway. If you were the one that sat at the table with a student that does not feel connected whatsoever to anyone. Or if you just slipped an encouragement note anonymously into someone's locker, how amazing would that be to change the culture of things of how it is right now?
Or you're the one that cleaned up your lunch and somebody else's lunch.
Right.
So lunchroom lady doesn't have to do it. You know what I mean?
Or you're just helping in the classroom. Right. Teachers are constantly having to work hard at helping you grow when it comes to education and the things they have to deal with. Man, if you're just helping them, encouraging them, man, I just think that goes a long way. And also at home, that's a big thing too. The way we treat our siblings and our family. Families, man, those are the ones that we love the most and we see the most and oftentimes we feel the most safe with, so we let down and speak the most brutal honesty to them, right? So that was our focus this past week on just, you know, service. Man, our faith grows when we serve, and there's importance to that. And I think God wires us to serve. I mean, when we talk about the scientific side of things and the chemicals that are released, there's a reason for that. I wholeheartedly believe that. And so start having those discussions this week. Man, maybe it's reading, sitting down and reading the washing of the feet and John 13 with your family. And talk about, what's this mean? What is Jesus living out here? Why is he washing feet? Is he all about clean feet, right? No, absolutely not. The message is always greater than what's on the surface.
Right.
And so that would be, I think, a great conversation at home for you and your family. And so, as the same with Steve, he mentioned CIY Move, which is the high school event.
What you got?
I got CIY Mix, which I think is super confusing, but I love it. It's hilarious. I think we've got Mix for middle school. You got Move for high school. Why can't it be like a separate? Why's it got to be two M words? I get parents all the time.
Mix it up and then you get to move it out.
I want to register. Oh, well, that's the wrong one. You're looking for Move, not Mix. Yeah. And so, so for middle school, we have a very similar event. It's the same type as Move. It's just a middle school version that takes part. It takes place at Cedarville University. And we've done this the past 3 years. It's been great for our students. Same thing that I shared earlier with high school, a week long of worship and teaching that's incredible. Your middle schooler gets to experience a college type life for a week. I'm there all week. Our leaders are there. And again, just like CIY Move is super beneficial to our high school students, this is a great way to, I would say, cap the year, end the year, and then also launch into the next year. A great way to that mountaintop type experience, right, for the week. So register for that. Our event is $425 total. If you register right now to the end of January, that's $350. So again, it's $75 off if you register right now. Again, that'll go up $25 next month. And so get on sbepic.org, register, sign your student up, and you will not regret it. I guarantee it. And that brings middle school segment to a close. Good job, Steve. I think week two.
You did it all. You did the middle school. Come on, buddy.
Well,
good job, Eric.
Good job for you too, brother. Hey, we'll see you next week, and we're going to segue now and transition to SB Kids. So
bring it on in, ladies.
All right. We'll see ya. And we're going to change some things up going forward. We realized last week when we did the podcast that Michelle Cornish came on and talked about K through second, and Carrie talked about third through fifth, and literally they're talking on the exact same thing every week, word for word, verbatim. So we decided to put our K through fifth segment together. And so each week there will be a K through fifth segment, and it might be Carrie, it might be Michelle, it might be a volunteer that'll come in and share what they talked on that weekend, the previous weekend, and again, how you can continue conversations at home and things like that. So it's going to be one segment of K through fifth that'll probably be around 15 minutes. And so that's what we're going to do going forward. And this week we've got our own Carrie Shrewsbury, who just couldn't resist coming back. She loved it so much week one. And
couldn't
wait. And if you guys listened last week, it was great. She was super nervous, and she probably is still now. I don't know. But she was nervous coming on, and she's got all these documents printed off, her words. It's great. I love it. And last week we laughed a little bit because it was you that said it, that I even had to write out my notes on who I am, like, right, Carrie, I'm sure, which was funny. And so, so last week you shared with us your family, your kids, your husband. And so didn't you have something you said about this week that
then my husband and I were listening to it later that night, and he said you did a really good job, but maybe next week you could give me a name. So for
so
the
great
record, I
so
would
true
like to say my husband's name is Samuel Dwayne Shrewsbury.
Give the whole name.
He goes by Dwayne.
That's awesome.
His birthday is May 27th. His social is 412.
No, don't you doubt you. Oh my gosh. Which I didn't think you would do it, but I was like, that's incredible. And yeah, Dwayne is awesome. We love him. So that was really funny. I didn't even think about it because you did. You shared your kids, and I was like, oh, well, yeah, won't you share their names as well? And you poor Dwayne. I didn't even think, hey, don't worry about your husband. We don't need, poor guy. But we love you, Dwayne. You're amazing. And so here we are. Okay. So let's do this. You ready?
I'm ready.
So share with, let our families know what's going on in K through fifth.
All right. So a recap. We all of January, we're talking about self-control.
Yeah.
So last week we broke down the verse from Proverbs 12:18, which states, the words of thoughtless people cut like swords, but the tongue of wise people brings healing. So we discussed how powerful our words are and how they can be used to cut people down like a sword or build people up and encourage others. We tried to get them to think about how sometimes it's not just our words, but it's also how we say those words.
Right.
We told them, you know, there's a big difference between saying, I'm sorry, and I'm sorry, you know?
Right.
So it's all about our motivation, our tone.
Did you ever not to cut you off, it's funny you say that with I'm sorry. Did you ever have, I remember my mom used to do this to me when I would do that. I'm sorry, like, totally don't mean it, right? And she'd be like, Eric, you're not sorry, you're just sorry you got caught.
Right, exactly.
It's so true that our tone and everything reveals exactly how we, are we truly sorry or not? So that's good, that's great, go ahead.
So for us, our key question was, why are your words so important? And we wanted the kids to think about that and realize how important and powerful our words actually are. And we discussed, too, also that if you're having trouble controlling your words, then it might be a really good idea to ask God for help. if that's something you struggle with.
Right.
Which most kids do.
Well, most kids, I was going to say, even our adults, right? So say, if you're struggling with your words, maybe step back from social media. Maybe step back from Twitter and Facebook and having to be impulsive with your words, right? Yeah, it's very timely and much needed.
How we should use our words to help people and to heal them and to bring them up and not cut them down like a sword.
Absolutely. And that's great. Yeah. That's good stuff because, man, what is it? Is it James that says, you know, in the tongue, it has the opportunity to bring life or bring death, right? And I shared that too. I think it was a Wednesday night during our Bible study. I was sharing with some of our students that, you know, you realize every time you open your mouth, you have the opportunity to bring life or death into a situation. Whether, let's say, you know, maybe you can think back to times that you just remember when you were encouraged or you shared an encouraging word, you're literally bringing life to that person. Whether it's like, I'm struggling with confidence or I'm doubting myself in a certain situation, when someone steps in and says, hey, you got this, you can do this, you're great. That's like bringing life to where there's death, thinking I'm not good enough or I can't do this. And likewise, the other way that, man, cutting someone down with your words, we know that, man, that can bring like death, right? It brings death. It brings this awful feeling that I don't have worth, I don't have value, and your words just essentially said that to me. And so, man, it's definitely much needed, not to mention our culture, but, man, starting at a very young age to get kind of a handle on the way we talk and being mindful of that for sure. And go ahead, I'm sorry. Kind of jumped in there.
No, that's good.
And do you have, so with that, are there any like resources you would recommend to parents or anything at all that...
Well, I think you've talked about the Parent Cue.
Right.
They have a lot
of... Go ahead and reiterate that too.
Great stuff.
Yeah.
And this week, the Parent Cue just reminded us that self-control doesn't happen overnight, that it takes time and practice. And then it had several things that we as parents can do or guardians to do to help our kids learn self-control. And I thought I could just read that real quick.
Go ahead, absolutely.
Okay. The first is, it says, model it. Chances are you've learned some self-control throughout your life, but in most cases, this becomes second nature. You've learned not to say everything that comes to mind. You've learned you don't need a third donut. Everyone needs two. Ha ha. You resist another pair of shoes to add to your wardrobe. But because these decisions are second nature to you, your kids don't see the process of making the wise choice of having self-control in those moments. When your kids are around, talk to them about your self-control decision-making processes, what was going through your mind, and how you came to the conclusion you did. This will help your kids understand how they can make wise choices about self-control in the future. So I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah, that's great.
The second one was provide opportunities. Kids will never learn self-control if they're not given opportunities to practice it. Let them wait. Give them responsibilities. Give them choices. Ask questions and guide them through a decision-making process in a way that allows them to take ownership of their choices. And the last one is offer grace. As kids are learning self-control, they will not always get it right. You'll discover they spent all night on the Xbox or talking to their friends on FaceTime instead of doing a project. When that happens, offer them grace and forgive them. That doesn't mean you swoop in and finish their homework or project for them. In fact, letting them suffer the natural consequences when the stakes aren't so high is one of the best things you can do. Help them learn self-control before consequences show up on permanent records. Constantly remind them they are still learning, and while they are learning, they are still deeply loved.
That's so key. That is so key. That's great stuff. Grace is everything. Like we said that earlier, when Steve was talking about high school, and again, having people, influential people in our students' life that, you know, failure, mistakes, that's key to growth. That's something that's inevitable. And I think sometimes we forget that perfection isn't reality. And so having grace is key to our student and kids' growth as they go on and get older. So I think that's great. Is that by Dan Scott?
Yes.
Who wrote that? Oh,
yep.
Man, he's great. Dan Scott, if you don't know, he's got a book called In Between. It's a great book. And really, that's like in between. What is that? Preteen, like that preteen stage of like fourth and fifth. And he's got a great book on, man, if you have any students or kids in that age, you know very much that it's kind of this in-between stage. I'm very much there with my son, fourth grade, and read that book, super beneficial, of just where they're at, what their development's like, things they're thinking. It's just a good book for parents of those in-betweeners. And the tongue is pretty big deal, right? And I know I said that earlier, and I totally got it wrong. It was just funny. I was just laughing about it that, you know, the verse was Proverbs 18:21. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit, which is true. I mean, you know, Solomon talking about again of your words. Like if you live by that, like if, man, you are one that just spews death through your language, you will eventually eat that fruit. Mm-hmm. If you're one that brings life with the way you talk, man, what a satisfying fruit to have and be a part of. And James is also, you can get in the midst of the tongue in James, if you guys ever want to read like James 3, where he just goes on and James just pretty much says it's a whole world of evil. It's set on fire from hell. Like he doesn't mince words when he talks about the importance of the way we talk to each other. So it's really good stuff. Love what you guys are doing in there, man. You know, I know my Addy loves it, and it's good to be hearing things like this, to start even at a young age, being mindful of our words and the mm-hmm. repercussions that come with our words, and to be mindful of what we choose to say in certain instances or how we speak to others. And it's tough because we live in a culture now where, as they get older, you remove that face-to-face dialogue. And it's, I mean, we know that. We talk about mm-hmm. this a ton with the age of social media and technology, that it's an awful place with language and words because there isn't that face-to-face dialogue, that mm-hmm. I remove humanity. Carrie is not here. I'm behind a screen. I'm talking and I lash out. And it's so much easier to lash out at someone when I don't have that person in front of me. And so right. that's what, you know, even when I talk to our students about it, it's the same thing. And be mindful of the words you use, because even though they're not there, they're not with you, I mean, you have the power of life and death, and it's an awful thing, an ugly thing when you don't have self-control, for sure. So anything else you want to share, Carrie? Anything at all?
I know my middle child struggles a lot with this.
Yeah.
Or she did. She did.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
It's gotten a lot better.
Yeah.
But right. Self-control, especially with her words, has not come easy for her.
Right.
And I remember this one time that I told her, it was something as simple as go brush your teeth, and she completely lost it. She, body flopped off the couch onto the floor.
That sounds like my oldest.
Screaming at me and yelling. And
awesome.
Of course, I was tired and cranky too, and I turned around and hollered at her, "We do not yell in this house."
It's your yelling. And I love it. It's so true, right?
Yes, as soon as I said that, I realized the irony of it all. And so I spent many nights literally on my knees praying that God not only give her self-control, but give me patience with her.
Absolutely.
And let me be the best example I could be of self-control.
We're all, every one of us are there, right? That have kids, we were all there about. Yeah, it's a struggle. Yeah, the self-control is always huge. Not even just words, but everything we do. And you know, the same way, like, it seems like something simple as brush your teeth. Like, I'm the same way with my oldest. Of like, all right, bud, it's time to go up to bed. It's time to get ready for bed. Just mm-hmm. simply go get dressed, right? Same thing. He does the whole, goes limp, slides off the couch, just goes prostrate on the ground. I'm like, buddy, are you serious? Yes. Come on, man. Like, you're driving me nuts. And so, yeah, it's parenting is a blessing and a growth for us as well. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, again, it's awesome. Just like, that's so funny of you, like her yelling and then you yelling back. Yeah. It's like, and that's why my parents were always like, do as I do, not as I say, or do as, what is it? Do as I say, not as I do, whatever. So yeah. All right. Awesome. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, thanks, Carrie. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thanks, Eric.
I appreciate your time, and we'll continue this going week to week. Hopefully you're going to be a pro. You're going to love it. You're going to be asking, man, I want to lead this podcast, right?
Can we do live next?
Can we do live next? I think that's giving you the safety for the security, right? That we can edit things.
Right.
That's great. But we're not going to edit them. We're going to leave all the faults out there. Just kidding. Thank you. All right, Southbrook families, thank you for tuning in for this week's For the Family podcast. I hope it was a blessing for you and your families. Again, we have the Facebook page For the Family podcast. And so, man, you guys ever have comments or questions you want to throw on there, you can do that. We'll upload resources when those times come. I'll be posting in there like when a release is out. And most of the time, like I think I sent that out to our church. Most of the time, Wednesdays at 4, you can assume that podcast will be up. And we're hoping that soon it'll be coming to Apple and Android and all those outlets. But for right now, for thefamily.fm, you can go to the website, listen to the embedded player there. Or have a SoundCloud, and it's on. Oh, I just got it's on Spotify.
Yeah.
I love me some Spotify. That's awesome. Thanks, Jake. Jake Bryan is the magic man for us. He makes this all happen. He edits and does this, and we love this guy. And so it's on Spotify now. So that's awesome. That makes me happy because that's where I live most of my life. So I'll be there. It's on Spotify. So yeah, tune in, share it with everyone you know. And again, you know, if you got any questions, comments, feel free to shoot that and put that on for the family podcast page on Facebook. Thanks, everyone. Have a great week.